Welcome to church. Service will begin shortly. Here's a few announcements to keep you in the know. Club 65 is having an event on campus on April 30th at 1 p.m. The theme is a blast from the past and will feature a hot dog lunch and join the golden oldies. If you plan on attending, please notify us by contacting the church office. The school year will be coming to a close pretty soon, so keep in mind, we have a lot of activities going on for our young adults. Teenagers and kids, make sure they stay connected with their friends and with here at church throughout the summer. If you haven't connected with some groups here at church, now is a perfect time to contact our discipleship pastor, Bobby Woods, and bring him a Diet Dr. Pepper, and he'll help you get plugged into a life group where you can build relationships while building your faith and your relationship with God and just doing life better. Hey, and if this is your first time visiting us in person, hey, welcome. Hoping you're having a great time. Please stop by the I'm New wall. That's the big orange wall in the lobby. We have a gift for you. Can't beat that. And as we continue to love God and love people, He keeps changing the world around us and changing hearts too. Let's celebrate the baptisms that happened on the hill last week.
Just raise a hallelujah into this place. You guys awake this morning? I'll raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. Now raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. Now raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
Come on,
in the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Oh, we're gonna raise a
thank you.
So we sing a little louder, sing a little louder, sing a little louder. Come on, let me hear you. Sing a little louder. We're gonna sing a little louder, sing a little louder. Sing about our God.
is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God.
Peace.
your faithfulness to me.
Sing it again.
Oh, great is your faithfulness to me.
One more time. Great is your faithfulness. Great
is your faithfulness to me.
Can you just give him praise in this place as you're being seated? Amen.
Well, good morning, church. It's awesome to be here on an absolutely gorgeous Sunday morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. There was a very elderly man taking his evening walk. He was enjoying the crisp night air and the sound of the wind blowing through the trees when suddenly he heard a voice calling, "Help me, help me." The man looked all around and he didn't see anyone. So he began on his walk again, but again he heard this tiny voice, "Help me, help me." The man looked down and he saw a small frog. He gently lifted the frog up and looked at it intently, and then the frog spoke, "I'm really a beautiful princess. If you kiss me, I will turn back into a princess and I will love you forever." The elderly man thought for a moment. Then he placed the frog in his top pocket and continued walking. The little frog looked up out of the pocket and said, "Why don't you kiss me?" The man responded, "Frankly, at my age and stage of life, I'd rather have a talking frog." That had absolutely nothing to do with this morning's sermon, but I read that this week and had to tell you. So we are continuing our series on Let's Go Live It Out. As we're looking at the DNA of our church, where we have prayer over top of worship, study, serve, give, and share. And this morning we're going to be talking about why is it important to study the Bible? Now, Bible study matters because it is the only book that God has ever written. It is God's word to us. The Bible is literally God-breathed. God has designed your growth to happen through the spiritual disciplines, like we talked about, study, prayer, worship, serving, giving, and sharing. As a believer, you have a purpose in life, and your purpose is to become like Jesus Christ. And your primary power to your growth is your engagement in the Bible. So we're going to start by looking at 2 Peter. Starting in verse 16. "For we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes when we received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, 'This is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy.' We ourselves heard that the voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns. And Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God." Now let's look through this verse. We're going to go this step by step. Peter first tells the apostles' writings are not made up clever stories. In verse 16, he says, "We," and he means the apostles. Remember, the apostles were the original 12, and then, of course, Judas hung himself, and that left 11, and then you add Paul, and you've got the 12. Peter will tell the believers in his day to remember, "I want you to remember what the holy prophet said, along with what our Lord and Savior commanded through the apostles." Did you know that every one of the 27 books that are made up of the New Testament have connections to the apostles? That is, if you wanted your book to be included, then your book would either have to be endorsed by an apostle or written by an apostle. So Peter says, in effect, we are not making up clever stories. You can have confidence in the Bible. Now, why are you to have confidence in the apostles' writings? Well, the reason is the apostles can be trusted. It's because they were eyewitnesses themselves to what Jesus did. Look at verse 16. It says, we saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. When we received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice of the majestic glory of God said to him, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Jesus is referring to the transfiguration. When Jesus was up on the mountain and Moses and Elijah appeared with him, and Peter is saying, we saw Jesus transfigured. We heard the voice that came from God. We saw his glory. And we can know for sure that Jesus has the necessary power and glory and authority to return. The transfiguration gives us no depth to tell us how much Jesus can't do being transfigured like that. So you can be confident in Jesus' return because the apostles were eyewitnesses to his transfiguration. This was a preview of the glory of how Jesus will return. Peter moves from this tight circle where he's speaking about the predictions of the second coming of Jesus to a larger circle where he speaks about all of Scripture. In verse 20, he says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. Now, he's moved from talking about transfiguration to the idea about all Scripture. Basically, he is saying no individual is entitled to interpret prophecy or any other Scripture for that matter according to your own personal whim. Peter says you cannot twist the Scriptures to suit your own needs. Now, we got a lot of people in our world do that, don't they? Now, add verse 21 that says prophecy doesn't come from humans, but prophecy comes from God himself. Now, you may hear skeptics in our world say the Bible is just a book written by a bunch of men a long time ago. But the earliest witnesses closest to Jesus say something completely different. Three times, Peter denies that man made up the New Testament. They tell us the New Testament is not cleverly made up stories. But he says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from a prophet's own understanding. The New Testament is not from human initiative. Instead, the New Testament is produced by the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, no, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit that they spoke from God. Human beings did write the Bible, and you can see their biases and their different perspectives shine forth as you turn the pages. But the collection of 66 books and Scripture ultimately came from God. Underscore these forceful words in verse 21 when he said men who spoke from God. Those who say that the Bible have errors have really closed their ears to the truth. Jesus once asked your Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to take up your mat and walk? Then he proved the ability to forgive sin, something we cannot see, by healing the paralytic, something around that they could see with their own eyes. We are given assurance that God's word is true when it discusses spiritual errors, areas that we cannot test by our eyes and our ears, and by showing itself truth in those areas that we can test, like historical accuracy, scientific accuracy, and prophetic accuracy. The word responds to our deepest needs. Paul wrote these words to Timothy. All scripture is inspired, or God breathed, by God, and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Scripture informs our brokenness and our joys, thoroughly equipping our minds and informing our everyday actions. No matter the magnitude of the mess that we carry, the word is alive and is powerful to speak to those needs. In fact, our brokenness is what compels us to go deeper into it, back to it again and again. We should read and study the Bible because God does not change, and because mankind's nature does not change. It is as relevant for us as the day it was written. While technology changes, mankind's nature and desires do not change. We should read and study the Bible because there is so much false teaching in our world today, right? The Bible gives us the measuring stick by which we can distinguish truth from error. It tells us what God is like. To have a wrong impression of God is to worship an idol or a false god. We worship something that is true. Do you know how the Secret Service agents train to find counterfeit bills? They study the actual bill and study it and study it. So when a counterfeit is placed in front of them, they automatically see it. They don't need to study the counterfeits. All they need to do is study the real thing. The Bible also helps us understand what motivates us to do the things we do. Hebrews 4 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Scripture also helps us resist the temptation of the enemy. In the Battle of Antietam in 1862 was the bloodiest day of the Civil War. In 12 hours, there were 10,000 Confederate casualties, and even more on the Union side. One historian wrote these words, "At last the sun went down and the battle ended. Smoke heavy in the air, the twilight quivering with the anguished cries of thousands of wounded men." Though the battle appeared to be a draw, Union General George McClellan was able to end Robert E. Lee's thrust into Maryland, forcing him to retreat across the Potomac. This was possible because two Union soldiers had found a copy of Lee's battle plans and delivered them to General McClellan before the battle began. In some respects, we are no match for our adversary, Satan. But like General McClellan, our enemy's plans have already fallen into our hands. Because of the Bible, we know the enemy's strategies to entice us with lies and lust and greed. With such knowledge given to us by God's Word and the Holy Spirit, we too can resist the enemy's advances. Now, how do we actually study the Bible? Well, it has to be a personal habit. When it comes to spiritual growth, nothing beats the Bible. When people practice one spiritual discipline, whether it is prayer or worship or serving or giving, the practice of one habit doesn't necessarily create a momentum in the believer to engage in other spiritual disciplines. But when people practice reading their Bibles, there is momentum to other spiritual habits as well. The truth is simple and straightforward. You will simply not grow if you fail to know God and to spend time reading God's Word. Reading the Bible is the number one predictor for your spiritual growth. You know, there's a difference between a tourist and an explorer. The tourist travels quickly, stopping only to observe the highly noticeable or publicized points of interest. But the explorer, on the other hand, takes his time to search out all he can find. Too many of us read the Bible like a tourist and then complain about our relationship with God. We need to be like explorers in the Bible, taking time to the notable nooks and crannies that will appear beneath the surface. Dwight L. Moody said, "The scriptures were not given for our information, but our transformation." The challenge is few of us are reading the Bible. Recent surveys have asked how many times people read the Bible besides just being in church. Only 32% of Christians said every day. And honestly, I think they were lying. I really do. I think they were lying. I think people just said yes just to make themselves feel better. I would guess that less than 10% of you read your Bible every single day. And when asked those who didn't read why, they said they simply did not have the time. A new minister was asked to teach a boys' class in the absence of their regular teacher. He decided to see what these boys knew about the Bible. So he asked them who tore down the walls of Jericho. Now, if you don't know this story, the people of Israel were crossing over the Jordan and going into the new promised land. God had asked them to go and to conquer all of the nations, all of the cities, and to take them for their own. And the first big city they came up to was Jericho. And God had told Joshua to take the people of Israel and to march around Jericho for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they were to shout and to blow their shofars, and the walls of Jericho would fall down. So this preacher asked the boys, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? Well, the boys denied doing it. And the preacher was kind of appalled by their ignorance. So at the next leaders' meeting of the church, the preacher got up and said, not one of those boys knew who walked down the walls of Jericho. The group was silent for a while until one of the senior members of the church stood up and he said, preacher, this appears to be bothering you a lot. I've known those boys since they were born and they're good boys. If they said they didn't do it, they didn't do it. Let's just take some money out of the repair and maintenance fund and fix those walls and let it go at that. We quest for meaning beyond ourselves. In God's word, we find the ultimate meaning in a person, not a concept. Our goal in studying is to come closer and closer to the meaning God intends us to receive, and ultimately closer to Him. Scripture is the breath of God, carrying the weight of who He is with its message, which means the more we interact with it, the more we personally engage with the Spirit Himself. When we refuse to open God's Word, it's not just a rejection of the material book, it is a rejection of your relationship with God. Consider the difference between strong tea and a weak cut of tea. The same ingredients, water and tea, are used for both. The difference is that a strong cup of tea results from the tea leaves' immersion in the water longer, allowing the water a time to get into the tea and the tea to get into the water. The longer the steeping process, the stronger the cup of tea. But in the same way, the length of time we spend in God's Word determines how deeply we get into it, and it gets into us. Just like the tea, the longer we're in the Word, the stronger we become. The Bible is a kingdom story about a king who will go to any lengths to invite his people into relationship with him and to join him in advancing his kingdom agenda in history. The Bible is full of history and biographies and miracles and prophecies and songs and poems and letters and practical teaching. Each element deserves your time and attention. Each book contains wisdom and guidance for your life. The Old Testament tells the story that that relationship grows and changes over time. It focuses upon the story of the Jews, a people specially chosen by God to establish and advance His kingdom for glory. He works with His people in many different ways through each of the covenants He makes with them. Then we go into the New Testament, and it contains the fulfillment of all the prophecies and the prominence and the covenants in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the one God in flesh. The Bible tells a story with a huge narrative arc, and that points towards God's increasing intimate dealings with His people. That's why you need to pay attention to where you are in the big story as you read through the Bible. But you should never lose sight of the big overarching story of the Bible, which is the story of God's redemptive love and desire to be present to His people. So the Bible is not just a book to read. It is a book to study so that it can be applied. Otherwise, it's like swallowing food without chewing and then spitting it back down. No nutritional value will be gained through it. It cannot be overemphasized enough just how important the Bible is in our lives. Now, you do need a plan for studying your Bible. Now, if you read your Bible, you usually have one of three plans. One may be when I have a need reading plan. Many of you start here because it can be a big book and sometimes it can be confusing. So we open it up when we have a need. You may even have an index in the back of your Bible that says, here are verses on loneliness. Here are verses on pain. Here are verses on sorrow. When you're feeling lonely, then you read a verse there. Or you may be one of those flip the Bible open reading plans. Now, I'm sure all of us have done this at one time or another. We flip open the Bible and simply read whatever is there. This isn't a good practice. Like the man who opened his Bible and read, and Judas hung himself. He closed the Bible and opened it again to not go and do likewise. You need a systematic reading plan. If you want to get from rarely never reading the Bible to really growing, then you need to adopt an organized plan to read your Bible. Some plans allow you to read for breadth, where you read from cover to cover in a year. Some plans allow you to read for depth when you read one particular book over and over again. Now, down here in the front, I have both copies of a chronological plan, that is, reading the Bible as history goes. And then I also have something from the Navigators here, where you can read a little bit of each type of scripture each day. They're up here for you when you're ready. But one of the things you need is, I believe you need a physical copy of the Bible. Now, there are great aspects to Bible apps, but if you're not careful, you can be in the middle of reading your Bible on your phone, and suddenly you get a notification of a Snapchat. So you go to watch that instead. And that breaks your continuity. So consider a physical copy of God's Word. If you're not a reader, maybe you can listen to it and read it at the same time. Now, you need a good translation. Now, which translation should you choose? You can either use a word-for-word translation. That is, when translators took care to take from Hebrew, the Aramaic, and the Greek, and brought those words into English. That'd be examples like the New American Standard, or the NIV, or the Coleman, or the New Living Translation. Or if you use a thought for thought, that's when they would take a thought in the original language and they would put that thought into English. And you see that in the English Standard Version or the New Living Translation. We tend to like to use the New Living Translation. And if you don't have a physical Bible, I have some right up here. After the service, you can come get one. So what is my ultimate motivation for studying the Bible? God is not far or distant. He didn't set the world into motion and draw back things to let them unfold on their own. On the contrary, God wants us to have a real, personal, intimate relationship with each of us. One of the reasons God gave us the Bible is so that we would know and love Him. The Bible tells us that God is love, that He's merciful, He's faithful, and that He's just. We don't just study the Bible as a mean of earning God's favor. We do it so that we love Him with all of our hearts. Adrian Rogers said, "Now you cannot love someone that you do not know, and you cannot know someone that you don't spend quality time with. To know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to trust Him. To trust Him is to obey Him. And to obey Him is to be blessed. And it begins with a quality quiet time, a daily communication with the Lord." I mean, communication is critical of any relationship. Listening, speaking are involved in communication. If you want a relationship with God, you must communicate with Him. This may sound like a tall order, but that's what prayer and Bible study are for. Prayer is how you speak to God. Bible study and Bible reading are how God speaks to us. It may seem like a strange concept to grasp, but if you study the Bible, you will begin to see patterns and messages that are of great comfort, the exact things you're praying about, answers you cannot find elsewhere. I don't know how many times I've opened up the Bible and read something and then turned around and read it 6 weeks later, and God said something completely different to me, pointed something completely different in the scriptures to me. God speaks to us through His Word. And if you have a hard time praying, pray God's Word back to Him. I pray almost every day Psalm 51. Back to God. David talked about his sin of Bathsheba and the great guilt that he felt and returning the joy of your salvation to Him. Pray God's Word back to Him. Acts 17 says, "They received the Word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so." The Bible speaks to us about our need for Jesus and his grace. It speaks about the Son of God who died for sinners and our need to embrace Christ by faith. Both Bible study and Bible reading are important, but they are different. Bible reading is just reading or listening to the words of the Bible. But Bible study is more involved as you deep dive into the Word of God, trying to learn and understand it. Now, I'm the discipleship pastor. I'm in charge of life groups. I'm telling you, you need to be in a life group Bible study. Being part of a group is tremendously beneficial for the Christian experience. Not only do you get to experience God with other believers outside of a weekly church service, but you also have the opportunity to go deeper into your studies and relationships, all while socializing and having a good time. I got 7 reasons you should be part of a life group. In a life group, you are noticed. Now, we are a big, big church. It's impossible for me to know each and every one of you personally and to get to know you. But when you are in a group, you become a community of friends. And when you're not around, they notice. People know your name. They care about you and are willing and able to support you when it's needed most. Life groups give you an extended family. Some of us live hundreds of miles from our families. Others have no families at all. Being part of a life group that meets weekly to eat, to talk, to fellowship, gives you the same loyalty and support that you would see from your family. And family is priceless. I can tell you how close my life group is. We love each other. We do life together. And I consider them my family. Now, life groups also allow you to search and ask questions. Nobody has all the answers about God and Christianity or our spiritual journey, not even us pastors. So while services are focused on teaching and training, life group gives you the ability to ask those hard questions in a safe environment. Life groups also provide advice and support. They don't just help with spiritual questions, they also can provide support on the plethora of life matters. Life groups also improve your communication skills and your critical thinking abilities. One of the best ways to expand your own decision-making and analytical abilities is to critically evaluate and discuss challenging concepts like salvation, heaven, the Trinity, and the Second Coming. Life groups also improve your attitude. When you have people that pray for you every week, text you periodically, or care about your life, it's hard not to walk around with a smile on your face. Having people, positive people in your group, inevitably make your life more positive and enjoyable. And lastly, ultimately, life groups help the church grow. Just having more people together, getting people connected in a group, helps the church grow. Sometimes it's easier to invite somebody to come to your life group than it is to actually get them into church. Now, I want to end tonight, or this morning, talking about spaghetti. There we go. Prego, spaghetti sauce. Now, there was a commercial not too long ago for Prego spaghetti sauce. A mother is cooking spaghetti and the pot is full with looks like a vibrant red spaghetti sauce. And the aroma appears to be filling the house. Her son comes up and looks at his mother cooking the sauce and says, "Mom, where are the mushrooms?" She says, "It's in there." "What about the sausage?" "It's in there." "What about ripe tomatoes?" "It's in there." Prego spaghetti sauce had kick and flavor because of what it was inside. Every time the boy looked for something to explain what was in it, she said, "It's in there." If you are looking for victory in your life, the answer's in the Bible. If you are looking for transformation, It's already in there. If you're asking, where did you come from? Guess what? It's in there. If you are looking for power in your life, guess what? It's in there. If you are looking for deliverance, it's in there. If you are looking for answers to life's questions, it's in there. If you are looking for qualities in a good mate, it's in there. If you want to know how you can have a successful marriage, it's in there. If you want to know how you can be a good friend, it's in there. If you want to know how you can be a good parent,
it's in there.
If you are confused about life,
it's in there.
If you want to know what success is and how to achieve it, if you want to know how you can change and what really matters in life, if you want to know how you can live so that you don't look back at the end of your life with regret, if you feel a great shame, guilt, if you're under constant stress and worry, if you're looking to get over an addiction, if you want to know why there's so much evil in this world, if you are wondering why you struggle to do good, if you are wondering why you were on this earth to begin with, if you are lonely, if you're facing financial difficulties, if you have felt betrayed, it's in there. If you want to know if there is life after death, it's in there. And if you want to know how to get to heaven, it's in there. Scripture is full of all of our answers for this life. This morning, I want to challenge you with two things. Number one, if Jesus is not in here, we need to talk about that. You need Jesus in your heart. You need to have a salvation of faith and be baptized this morning. Don't leave this place going, maybe I'll do it some other time. This morning is the time to do that. And secondly, I challenge you to be someone who reads and studies their Bible every day. Even if it's only a chapter a day, take time to be in God's Word, because that is how God speaks to us. In these next few moments, I'm going to ask you to move. You can go all over the room. We have different communion stations set up. We have our offering boxes for you to place your tithes and offerings in them. When you go to grab your communion elements, make sure you hold on to them. We'll take them together. I'll be down front. I know Dave will be around here too. Jason, if you feel like God is speaking to you this morning and you want to know who Jesus is, please don't leave this room without knowing him. Let's stand together.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call among the scoffers.
Do this. I will tell you that if you don't belong to a life group, I got a whole list of life groups up here too. We go back to scripture. You can be seated, by the way. Paul talked about the fact that when we come to the table of God, that we should never come unworthily. That means that we should not come to the table with great sin upon our heart. Hatred against our brother. We need to abandon all that before we come to the table. So in these next few moments, I'm going to ask you to look into your heart. See what sin is there. Test what your commitment to God really is. Ask for forgiveness and ponder over what we are about to take. So I'm going to give you these next few moments to do that. Broke it. He blessed it and passed it around the room. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." So as often as we eat of it, remember him. Next, he took that cup of wine and he blessed it. "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you. So as often as we drink of it, we remember him."
I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? How can I give an answer? But this I know with all my have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen. Can you just give God praise in this place? As you leave today, let's just continue loving God, love people, and keep watching Him change the world. Thanks for being here today. God bless you.